You're listening to Penguins Live, presented by Trib Total Media on Penguins Radio 24/7. Here's your host, Brian Metzer.
And welcome back to Penguins Live, presented by Trib Total Media on Penguins Radio 24/7. Joining me now on the line, you know him as an NHL analyst over Forbes Sports Money. You know him from ColliganHockey.com and a number of other outlets. That is the great Mike Colligan. Mike, thanks for taking the time today, especially sort of at the last minute that I had to enlist your services.
Well, hey, I was going to make you play with one last guest, but I think the Penguins got away with that the other night, and with the Christian Ehrhoff situation, certainly a tough situation for them, and it's been an interesting season, and hell, you think back 3-4 years now, it's been an interesting few years for the Penguins team. It seems like we've seen everything, and just when you think you've seen every injury, bizarre situation, something pops up, and the other night was just another one that I think always keeps us on our toes as far as covering the team goes.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Mike. And within a span of a week, essentially, two different games where they've got to play without somebody at the absolute last minute. We saw Sidney Crosby scratched a week ago Saturday, and then it happens this Saturday with Christian Ehrhoff. Just how hard is that for a team to have your lineup have to make a lineup adjustment like that right when you're already about to set, you know, your blades out there on the ice? That's got to be not an easy thing for anybody to get their heads around.
And I think despite Sidney Crosby being so important to the team, sure, I think it's actually much tougher to lose a defenseman. And we saw the extra minutes that Chris Letang and Paul Martin and the entire defensive unit had to play, and that makes it very difficult because then you don't have three pairs. You've really got just mix and match whenever you can get guys together. And we saw guys playing on the right side, playing on the left side. When you're missing a forward, it's a much easier swing where you can just double shift to center and it works out pretty well. But it's an interesting situation for the Penguins right now where they actually don't have salary cap space to bring up anyone, so they didn't have anyone on the trip. Even if Ehrhoff wasn't going to be able to go as of earlier in that day, they wouldn't have been able to bring up a replacement. But if you really dig into the rules, and I might have something up on this tonight to kind of explain into more depth, the Penguins actually are now eligible to qualify for an emergency recall. So they have to play one game essentially shorthanded in order to kind of qualify for that free cap space. They've obviously done that at this point. So I think if Ehrhoff can't go tomorrow night against St. Louis, I think we're probably going to see a last-minute recall, maybe a Derek Pouliot or perhaps another defensive replacement in his place.
Well, Mike, I know we've talked so much about the salary cap over the past couple of seasons when you've been on the show, and I think you're really seeing some manipulation here that they've had no choice but to go through, because with the Hornquist and Evgeny Malkin injuries, they might not be significant enough to place those players on injured reserve. You don't want to force them to miss games when they're healthy enough to come back, and that's sort of why you've watched them play this game, right, in terms of the personnel that they've had available, because, yes, you could have maybe made a move, but you're sacrificing games that you might need in the standings when a guy may have been healthy enough to come back.
That's exactly right, Brian. You know, they had a substantial space, I won't say substantial, but they had enough space coming out of the trade deadline where they could have even made another move. I think if something came into the table at the right time, that makes sense as far as upgrading the forward group goes. But on the same note, they had to maintain flexibility in case a situation like this occurs. And exactly like you mentioned, where they've got guys that are injured, but not necessarily injured serious enough where you can put them on the long-term injured reserve, which is really when you finally do get the cap relief. But you don't get any relief on the injured reserve, and that's the problem. You don't want to really declare Malkin or Hornquist out for a month at a time on that long-term designation. So that's the tough situation they're in. And, you know, this could be the beginning of it too. We could see more injuries, and so it could really mess this team up as far as, not playing at full strength and also not playing with line mates that they're familiar with. You know, we're seeing a lot of mixing and matching on the defensive end up front with Sidney Crosby now playing with Blake Como, and I've seen some problems there between those two as far as getting on the same page. So as you head into the playoffs, you'd love to have a full roster, and I'm sure Mike Johnston feels that way as far as just getting guys used to playing with each other, getting these lines rolling, and you want to have your roster really in a good shape as far as that goes.
Yeah, that's a good point by you there, Mike. And we are talking with Mike Colligan from ColliganHockey.com, Forbes Sports Money. And you know him on Twitter, at Mike Colligan. So if you're not following him, please do now. But generally speaking, Mike, I think all of that has contributed to the four-game losing streak that they just ended Saturday night. Did you look a little bit at, coming out of that span, the first period against the Coyotes as maybe that rock bottom moment, because then they came out like a blaze of glory in the second and third and solidified a big time victory. But that first period, I saw a whole lot of bad habits on display, some things I really didn't like, guys just going to the bench when the play's heading in the other direction. What have you thought of their overall game coming through that losing streak?
Well, you know, the guy I was looking at and watching the most during that stretch, especially in the first period there, was Mike Johnston. And I think for the first time since probably the early beginning of the season, I saw just a little bit of confusion, just not sure really what to do anymore. And, you know, you're playing a team like the Arizona Coyotes, who obviously are reaching the depths of the NHL and certainly not playing for anything with a lot of minor league players on their roster. And to come out and have a performance like that in the first period where they frankly got outplayed on top of a number of very concerning losses in recent days and not putting the puck in the net. And we saw, you know, fortunately they were able to get a chance to get some lucky bounces, and sometimes that's exactly what you need to kind of turn things around. And, you know, I don't think they were playing as good as some were talking about that they were during that West Coast swing. I thought they got outplayed by teams like Los Angeles, but they got the wins in those situations. And on the same token, I don't think they were playing as bad as many thought over the last four games, where they were losing to some weaker teams. I think just when you don't have those bounces going your way and the puck's not going in, the narrative can take on a life of its own. But certainly some concerns there as you head into the playoffs and you see this Penguins team really struggling to put the puck in the net at full strength. You hope that they can start to get on a bit of a roll and figure out how to get some scoring from all three or four lines.
Well, I think if you needed to, you know, call a silver lineup, a silver lining, if you will, out of the losing, it was the fact that Detroit aside, they were playing some great defensive hockey. I mean, you're allowing opponents just two goals a night. I think that more times than not, with the offensive firepower that the Penguins have, you should start to win some hockey games and get rewarded if you start getting a couple of breaks. But I think that's what stood out to me, is that they have become one of the finer defensive teams in the league, and I think that that's been lost on some people this year, because it's flown a little bit under the radar that this Penguins team has been so good defensively.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic that came up over the weekend. I was talking with a few people, and you know, as you think about what the Penguins were under Dan Bylsma, they were a team that really pushed the play, stretch passes, quick transitions, spending as little time as possible in their defensive zone. So super aggressive on that end of the ice, and that led to a lot of offensive opportunities, especially on odd man rush opportunities. And that really is the Penguins team, and they're still that way. It's a team that they're not going to grind, you know, the St. Louis Blues down in the offensive zone and cycle the puck and create chances that way. They're not big enough, they're not strong enough, and they're not built to score that way. They're built to score on odd man rush opportunities. And what's been interesting is now with Mike Johnson's, I think, improved focus on the defensive end of the ice, it's not creating as many of those rush opportunities. They're not getting those chances where they've got three-on-twos or three-on-ones, and that might be why we're seeing a bit of the offense suffering. And so it's kind of a catch-22. You know, do you stay focused on the defensive end of the ice? Do you give Marc-Andre Fleury some insulation there and really continue to play defensive hockey, knowing that full well that you're sacrificing the offensive chances that come along with that and are really the identity of this hockey team? And at that point, you're probably relying on special teams, and so they're going to need the power play to start to produce at least on a consistent basis like they were earlier in the season if they want to have success.
Yeah, that's been a big bugaboo for them, if you will, is that power play. I mean, have you seen any different looks or anything that you'd change with that power play unit? What has them going so far off the rails right now where they just can't find ways to generate power play goals? They got one Saturday, but it was sort of a fluky situation, just deflecting off Brandon Sutter. It wasn't traditionally a power play goal that you'd see.
Well, the other one that caught my attention the other night was a couple games ago was Chris Letang's quick shot from the point, and he's actually been a bright spot for me as far as his power play goes, and his willingness to shoot the puck and shoot it repeatedly, I think, is a great thing. And, you know, that seems to be the theme that we've been talking about with this Penguins power play for much of the year and even back to prior years as well, as far as, you know, when it gets to Sidney Crosby, sometimes the puck can kind of die a little bit. And at the NHL level, you can't afford to stop and hold and wait and look. That works at lower levels when you've got supremely talented players, but at the NHL level, you've got to move the puck quick. And if you watch a team like the Washington Capitals, who have always been at the top of the league, despite, you know, any healthy or unhealthy personnel that have been in there. They're a team that moves it quick, they're creative and unpredictable, and they've got, obviously, a ton of talent as far as the Ovechkins and Backstroms and Mike Greens go, and that's a combination that you need. I think it's a combination the Penguins are capable of, but when they slow it down and don't create as much of the shot volume, or at least the quick puck movement that's not including cross-ice passes that we seem to see so much, that's where things start to fall apart for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you know, the power play goes in phases. I think we're going to see hot stretches, we're going to see cold stretches. You just hope that when you get into the playoffs, if you're Mike Johnson and Rick Tocchet running that power play unit, you've got guys focused and doing the right things, and then you got to hope for a couple lucky bounces as well.
Yeah, that's for sure. And last Penguins thing, Mike, before I get a couple of league questions thrown at you here. Out of nowhere, Sidney Crosby in this off-season of his, he's not having a good year. Well, he's only leading the league in scoring again. Some things never change. And I think that Sid's woes, just like the National Hockey League, is scoring is just down across the board. Has he just been more of a product of that whole thing than anything he's really been doing himself?
The thing about Sidney Crosby is we're so used to him being consistent. You know, Evgeny Malkin is a guy that goes through hot stretches and cold stretches, and he'll disappear for 2 weeks and then show up and score four goals over two nights back-to-back. And I think we've gotten used to it with him, but we're not with Sidney Crosby. And that this year is the big difference is I've seen some inconsistent play on both ends of the ice from Crosby, and nights where he's not producing or generating much offensively, and even on the defensive end of the ice. And, he's had injuries this year, so I don't know how much of that is affecting his offensive production or his shot or even his confidence to get into high traffic areas in front of the opposing net. But when I see a guy not putting in the commitment and the consistent effort on the defensive end of the ice, that's usually not something that's impacted by injury. That's really just a guy in the middle of the season going through the motions. And that's a concern. You know, maybe Crosby's getting up there in age a little bit and he's losing focus. He set the standard so high when he was such a young player in this league as far as that consistent hard work and back check 100% all the time goes. Maybe we've set the standard a little bit too high, but it's been that inconsistency this year that's really caught my attention. And we'll see maybe after the year whether what he was dealing with or potentially that wrist injury that was bothering him last year is still giving him trouble. It's always tough to tell with him, but I think they're certainly going to need him at 100% or very close to it if the Penguins are going to want to have a chance in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I said a little bit earlier in the show, I think that what Sid does the rest of the way this year is really going to probably define his season, if not start to define his career a little bit, because people are going to look for him to be the difference maker and put this team on his shoulders and either carry them to an extended playoff run, if not make another run at a Stanley Cup. That's the way I see it anyways.
If he goes, you know, two games in the playoffs without scoring, we're going to hear all those same narratives we heard for the entire playoffs last year, you know, as far as his struggles go and teams shutting down Crosby and Malkin and that being the key. I think you're right. It could become the reputation or what we remember of the Crosby and Malkin Penguins generation. And so despite the new coach and a new GM, I think there's a ton of pressure on this Penguins team once again as they head into the playoffs.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, Mike. Well, I wanted to get a couple of thoughts from you on Matthew West. He passed away. It was a blow, I think, to the league. You know, just as much as anybody, I know you were a fan of Cap Geek, the site that he founded and did so much great work with, and to the point where he sort of put that template in place where I know you've started to put some things together as some other folks have as well. How big a loss was that when he not only ended the site, but now that he passed away?
Well, yeah, and you know, there wasn't a ton of detail when he decided to shut down Cap Geek and the site that was tracking salary cap information that fans and media alike had, and even team personnel had become so accustomed to using and leveraging for analysis and even quick reference and trade talks and the like that we usually talk about on this show. So yeah, certainly a huge loss from that perspective. But then when the details came out that, you know, he's had colon cancer for the last 2.5 years and despite all of that, never made it known to anyone and never sold out his site when it all came down to it. A surprising move for I'm sure a lot of people that probably Cap Geek was going to be worth quite a bit to someone like TSN or Sportsnet up there in Canada and would have loved to bring on him as a resource. But to have him just say, hey, you know what? I came from nothing. I'm going to leave it at that when I walk away here and just kind of maintain it from that perspective. What struck me about him was he never put his name out there. It was never about his reputation or, pumping his own last name as far as the cap geek goes. It was always a very humble and almost anonymous project that I thought was really one of the amazing parts of this internet era, where we've got fans and anyone that has access to the internet, essentially, with the right skills and the right determination and effort, can really create a niche and create their own thing and have an impact on a number of people within this National Hockey League.
Yeah, I think it was it's a big blow, but I know that it sort of did put things in the right direction to show what you just said. And I love the work that you guys have done and sort of trying to carry on, in a way, the torch that he left behind. So thank you for your efforts as well, Mike. You always do such a great job with cap analysis and breaking it down for the fans. And I want to thank you for popping on today at the last minute, as I said earlier. And hopefully we can do this again very soon, because I always enjoy our hockey talks here.
But yeah, especially as we head down the stretch here and get closer to the playoffs. I think right now it looks like the New York Islanders, but we'll see who that matchup in the first round ultimately is, and I think it'll be a tough matchup regardless. It'll be good to start to break that down over the coming weeks.
And I'm sure we will. Thanks again for this, Mike. Live long and prosper, my friend. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, yep. That is Mike Colligan from ColliganHockey.com, Forbes Sports Money, NHL analyst. Just great work from Mike Colligan all the time, breaking the league down, breaking the Penguins down, and of course his salary cap analysis is invaluable to folks like myself. So thanks again to him for stopping by. Go follow him on Twitter, @MikeColligan. When we